your hearts ready and just to be listening for what God has to speak to you tonight. I believe He's going to do it. Brother Young, you come and preach what God's put on your heart. We're just so thankful you're here, brother.
Amen.
Appreciate it.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Take your copy of the Bible tonight and find Genesis chapter 3, would you? Genesis chapter 3. We'll pick up where we were in Sunday school just for a little bit tonight. Genesis chapter 3. And what a good day it's been with you all. We've so enjoyed getting to know you and fellowshipping with you a little bit. Had dinner at Pastor's house today. And so thankful for him and his wife and how kindly they treated us. Just a blessing to be here. Did all of you meet my wife yet? Have you met Bethley Joy? If you haven't, I hope you will. We've been married almost 29 years. And we've been on the road all of those 29 years. 2 years ago, during COVID, we started our podcast, the Keeping It Young podcast. And I came up with that title myself. That's pretty clever, wasn't it? The Keeping It Young podcast is a conversation about marriage, family, and ministry life. And we do a 30-minute podcast, 25 to 30 minutes every Monday. And you can find it on any podcast platform, or you can go to our website, keepingityoungpodcast.com. And you'll find over 110 different episodes on there now. We cover everything from communication to training toddlers to training teenagers to how do you interact with your adult children. We cover all kinds of topics. Right now, we're in the middle of a series on conflict resolution. And everybody needs to know how to fight fair. You know what I mean? And so we're talking about that right now. We're about marriage. And here in a couple of days, we'll be transitioning. We'll be in a couple of weeks talking about solving conflicts with your children and blended families. How do you handle that? How do you handle the step, you know, the step issue, stepsons and stepdaughters and stepmoms and stepdads? And so check that out. We'd love for you to have that. And do take advantage of pastor's books. That is a great opportunity. And I believe with all my heart, one of the greatest decisions that Bethley Joy and I have just ever made in our marriage is we decided that we would take time every year to read a book on marriage and a book on raising children. And I'll read it and she'll read it. And then we go on a date and talk about it. So we do one on marriage. We do one on raising children. And quite often we try to take a time to read one a book on the bedroom. And those are harder to find. Those are more difficult. But those have all helped our marriage. And so I'd recommend get his books, borrow them. And is that not a good deal? You don't have to pay for it. Is that not a good deal? Now, I'll be sitting at a book table tomorrow, and mine you'll have to pay for. And so those will be available. I'll highlight those. But what a deal. And some of you aren't good readers. Well, I don't read much anymore. And I can help you with that. Here's all you got to do. Get a book. Check out a book. And just take time to read one chapter a day. One chapter a day. You're talking about 10, 15, 20, 25 minutes at most. And you'll spend that much time watching the news. You know, you'd be better off to skip the news and read a chapter in a good book. At least you'll go to bed happy. Am I right? You watch the news, you're going to go to bed unhappy. Am I right or wrong? And you're going to go to bed sad and uptight and miserable. So take advantage of pastor's books and read those, and take advantage of our podcast. And I certainly hope you'll take advantage of the 6:15 pre-service sessions. And just so you know, we're not pressured about those and don't want you to be. If you don't come to any of them, that won't bother us at all. If there's five people, then we're going to teach five people. If there's two, we're going to teach two. If there's 300, we'll teach 300. But those will be short. They won't be very long. But take advantage of those. And if we can help you, bring your questions to those. And we will have time in each session to take some questions and do some answers. And we're certainly thrilled and excited to serve you in that way. And if Beth and I can serve you in some other way while we're here, we certainly are available to do that. That's why we came, and we're honored to spend these 4 days with you all. So now let me see tonight, how many of you are here? Let's start there. If you're here tonight, let me see your hand. Raise it good and high if you're here. Is that everybody? It looks like everybody. And how many of y'all got a nap this afternoon? Let me see your hand. If you got a nap today, how many of you did not get a nap today? Let me see your hand. May I just suggest that this is not the time. So just clarify that, all right? So take your Bible in Genesis chapter 3, and let's begin reading in verse 14. If you were in the Sunday school hour, we read this morning, and we talked about the battle and the fact that under attack, the enemy is attacking the family. The first time the enemy shows up in the pages of God's Word, he's trying to destroy the home. And he's still doing that. And we read now the ending of the story, beginning in verse 14. If you're ready, say amen. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. How many of you all know these verses? Do you? Are you familiar with the story? Let's talk about them tonight, and I want to preach a sermon I'm going to simply entitle, Handling Family Problems. Handling Family Problems. How many of y'all are a family? Let me see your head. You're part of a family, right? That's all of us. Ought to be everybody here. Now, here's the question. Have you ever noticed that every family has problems? You ever notice that? You know why? It's because you're in it. Is that fair? If I wasn't in the family, they'd have less problems. And if you weren't in the family, they'd have less problems. But how many of y'all know? Every one of you that are married, did you know this? You're married to a sinner. How many of y'all know that? How many of you are aware of the fact that your children are sinners? How many of you are aware of that? Are you aware of that? If you don't believe children are born sinners, have a few. And you'll find out real fast. So there's no doubt about it that families have problems. In fact, take a moment here, and just nobody here but us, think through the Bible stories you know. What are the biggest families in the Bible with problems? You think about that. In other words, think about the families you know in the Bible. Maybe the best way to say it is this. What are the worst families in the Bible? Can you think of any? In fact, it's easier to think of families that are bad than to think of families that are good. Did you know that? There are more bad families in the Bible than there are good families. Anybody find that encouraging? Think just for a moment. You live in a sin-cursed world. And you know the Bible. What are the worst families in the Bible? Somebody give me one. Jacob's family. How many of y'all said Jacob? Anybody here say Jacob? Now, there's no doubt about that. In fact, if you feel badly about your family, go home and read the story of Jacob in the Bible, and you'll feel better about your family. It's really hard to find a family worse than Jacob. Jacob was a horrible man. Are you aware of that? He was a lousy son. He was a lousy son-in-law. He was a lousy brother. He was a lousy man. He was a lousy husband. He was a lousy father. The man was just a colossal mess. Now, I can hasten to tell you, I praise God for the story, because you'll find in Jacob's life, after all the mess of his life, there was a night that he did something that I recommend every family ought to do periodically. What he did is, he spent a whole night in prayer. You ought to read that in your Bible. He spent an entire night wrestling with the angel of the Lord. How many of y'all remember that story, do you? And you know what happened is, the next morning, God said to Jacob, I'm done with you. Done with you, and I'm going back to heaven, and you're on your own. And Jacob said, oh, no, you're not. I won't turn you loose. You gotta do something in my life and in my home. I'm not taking no for an answer. You're going to have to kill me, or you're going to have to change my family. And you know God did it, don't you? God changed his name from Jacob to what, church? Israel. God changed his name to blessed of the Lord, highly favored of the Lord, especially chosen of the Lord. That's what God did in his life. And out of that miracle night, that night of prayer, something happened in Jacob's family, and he got another son. And that son's name is Joseph. And Joseph is one of those people in the Bible to where, as far as I can tell, there is nothing ever said about him that is negative. He's one of those rare individuals. Everything in the story of Joseph is applaudable and noteworthy and faith-filled, and that would never have happened if that messed up man Jacob hadn't spent a night in prayer and made some things right with God. Isn't that an incredible thought? So Jacob's a story, one of the worst in the Bible. Can you think of any others, church? King David's. Who said that? You're exactly right. King David's family was messed up. Is that not a sad thing? Because here was the sweet psalmist of Israel. Here was the man that killed Goliath. Here was a man that is so prominent in the Bible that Jesus Christ himself is called the Son of David. And yet David's family was a colossal mess. I'll allude to it later. I'll tell you about it later in the sermon. Absalom murdered his brother Amnon because Amnon raped his half-sister. And what's even worse about it is David didn't say a word. There's no record that David ever corrected his sons. There's no record that David ever was any kind of dad that he ought to have been. What a failure. Jacob, David, just out of curiosity, can you think of any others? Who was it? Eli the priest, there's another one. His family was a mess. Samuel the prophet, there's another one whose family was a mess. Can you think of others? There's a lot of people in the Bible that were massive failures in the Bible. We just read about one. Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve blew it as well, didn't they? I say this to you, not to say this. You might have problems in your marriage and in your family, but brothers and sisters, I got to tell you, you're not alone. You're going to find all over the Bible that people in the Bible had problems in the home. The question is, what do you do about them? Now, let's go to the text tonight. And in order to understand the text tonight, you've got to lay out the text and apply it and understand it and see what it's saying here. Adam and Eve in this story now know about good and evil. Does that confuse anybody here? Here's Adam and Eve. They live in a perfect environment. And now God says to them, now they know good and evil. Now what does he mean by that? You see, God's plan for Adam and Eve was that they would discover evil by his training. Instead, they discovered it by his, or by their, rather, experience. God's not trying to keep anything from Adam and Eve. Isn't that what the devil told them? God's trying to keep you from knowing things you ought to know. God's doing you wrong. He said, God's doing you wrong. And yet, what God was doing was protecting them. God's going to walk with them. God's going to teach them. God's going to train them. They're going to learn what they need to know. But instead, they went around God's plan and disobeyed God, and now their eyes are open, and now they know evil by experience. Did you know that as moms and dads, our goal is not for our children to experience sin, but to understand it by our training? You see the difference in that? If we don't train our children, how many of y'all know this? Our children, by nature, will do wrong. How many of y'all know that?
But I can train my children, and I can teach my children, and I can help my children to be wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Are y'all with me tonight? So a reading here in the passage is a very normal part of the Christian life. We are people that have not experienced evil just like Adam and Eve. And here's what we know about good versus evil. You know this, don't you? Good brings blessings in life. How many of y'all know that? Good always brings blessings in life. How many of y'all want the blessings of God in your life, in your marriage, in your family? Can I see your hand? Is that where you are? I want God's blessings, don't you? So good brings blessings in life. Evil brings loss and pain and death. And God knew that. God's not trying to do Adam and Eve wrong here when he limits their ability in the Garden of Eden to eat of that one tree. God is trying to prevent them from having their eyes open to loss and pain and death. God had invited them to live and grow and understand evil's effects without experiencing evil's effects. The result is now there's death in the land. Now they don't have access to the tree of life. Now their relationship with God is on a different level. Now things are not well. How many families do you know where things are not what they ought to be? You know families like that, don't you? And that's exactly where Adam and Eve are. And so the question we have to answer tonight is simply this, and I got to watch the time here. What is God's plan for handling family issues? You find them in this text. I think I have time to give you five. All right, can you handle five? Here's number one. Here's God's plan. What can we do about family issues? In the text, number one, we learn this. Number one, we can pray. Now, that's where I ended this morning, but I'm coming back to it because it is a vital part of the text. Look at chapter 4 with me and look at verse 1. There's something I want you to see in chapter 4 and verse 1 of the text. All right? If you're there, say, I'm there. All right. In chapter 4 and verse 1, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, watch this now. She said, I have gotten a man, finish it. I have gotten a man from the Lord. All right. Now, church, what's the significance of that? Is she just saying, you know, God told us we would have kids and we are? Maybe, but I think it's deeper than that. Adam and Eve have now suffered loss and things have not been well. And what you read in chapter 3 and 4 is that now they're picking it up. The problem now, they've got to solve the problem. And what the Bible is indicating here is that Adam and Eve have gone to God and said, God, you know what you told us was to replenish the earth. And God, we want to do now what you told us to do. And they sought God about it. And what they're trying to tell you in chapter 4 and verse 1 is that God has answered their prayer. You know, don't you, that there'll be times in your family where you don't know what to do about the problem. Have you ever read this from the Bible? James 1 and verse 5. The Bible says, if any man lacks, louder, if any man lacks, let him do what? Ask of God. In other words, do you find that funny? I was reading that one and I thought to myself, James is writing to us and James says, if any man lacks wisdom. It's almost like James is saying, you know, just in case you don't know what to do. Just in case you might have a problem with a child and you just don't know what to do about it. Just in case there's anybody like that, James says, you can ask of God. Now, I love that idea because really, if I'd have been writing the Bible, I think I would have said, hey, y'all. There's a difference in that, isn't there? Because how many of y'all know there's any number of times in our marriages when we don't know what to do? Y'all with me on that? And we don't know how to raise our kids. Anybody here like that besides me? And we don't know how to handle a problem. And you know what the Bible wants you to know here? Is Adam and Eve sought God and it changed everything. They go back to God. Now they're finally right with God again. And they go back to God and they seek God. And what you're going to find, brothers and sisters, in the Bible is that when a problem in the family is solved, it starts with somebody getting hold of God on behalf of that family problem. Think about how many you know. I mentioned Jacob, right? Jacob, what's going on here, Jacob? Your family's a mess. You got four wives. How many of y'all agree that's a problem? Let me try that again. He has four wives. How many of y'all agree that's a problem? Y'all with me on that? Boys, I got to tell you, guys that are single, one's going to be hard for you. Somebody says, well, you know, we're dating to find out if we're compatible. How many of y'all know that men and women are never compatible? How many of y'all know that? And now he's got four of them. This guy's a mess. And now he's got all these kids by four different wives, and there's this jealousy, and there's bickering, and there's fussing, and there's fighting, and he's always trying to twist things and make things better than what they are. But Jacob finally said, enough! And he gets hold of God. And God does change everything. You will find in the Bible that anytime a person seeks God, it changes things. Remember Hannah? Hannah wanted a baby, didn't she? And she wanted a baby so badly. And what did she do? She went down to the temple and she got on her face in the presence of God and she was praying in such a way the priest thought she was drunk. Now, how many of y'all agree? That must have been some serious praying. Because I've prayed with a lot of people in my life and I don't know that I've ever seen somebody praying and thought, you know what, pastor must be drunk. I've never thought that. But she thought, the priest thought she was drunk. And you know why? Because the Bible says there was such a heaviness in her heart. She wanted a baby. She wanted a baby. She wanted a baby. And what'd she do? She couldn't have a baby. And she felt terrible about that. And it was, the culture was against her. And her adversary was against her. This was really hard in her. What did she do? She sought God. How do you handle family issues? Brothers and sisters, I can't say it enough. You've got to get on your knees. And you got to pray for wisdom. God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this. The Bible says you lack wisdom, you ask God, and He'll give it to you liberally. How many of y'all know that God is a liberal? At least when it comes to answering prayer, am I right? He'll just give it to you liberally. Does that not bless your heart? God, I don't know how to raise these kids. We'll go to God and say, God, I don't know how to raise these kids. Help! And you can pray big. God, we did. How many folks this morning? You'd be surprised. You didn't see it, but I did. I said this morning in the invitation, how many of y'all feel like there's a need in your family? And it would take a miracle. Church, you'd be surprised how many hands in your church family in this auditorium were raised this morning and said, you know what? We got family issues and it would take a miracle. Can I tell you something? I know a God who does miracles. Can I say that again? I know a God who does miracles. Almighty God is always able to do miracles. Beth and I have a friend, and I love this guy. He's my buddy, and I've known him for years. And some years ago, I don't know, it's probably gone 10 or 15 years ago, his wife had an affair. They're in a church. They love the Lord. They were serving the Lord. They're involved in a great soul-winning, fundamental Baptist church. And she had an affair. How many of y'all agree? That's a huge issue. Y'all with me on that? And you know what he did? You know what he did? He sought the Lord. He sought the Lord. You know what our culture says? It's over. Our culture says it's over. She just violated his trust and that marriage will not survive and he ought to divorce her and he ought to put that behind him and move on. But instead, our friend sought the Lord. You know what God did? A miracle. God enabled him and empowered him to forgive her. And God worked in her heart in such a way that she made it right. And here they are, years down the road, serving the Lord, working on a marriage, honoring God. I don't care what your family problem is, there's a God in heaven who cares. Can I start there? I don't care what your family problem is, there's a God in heaven who cares. Did Adam and Eve blow it? Yes or no, church? Did God care? Did God walk away from them and give them up? No, He cared. In fact, don't you love this? Here's Adam and Eve, and sin has now entered the world, and it's their fault. And yet God shows up in the garden. I love that. God showed up! Did you know that no matter what's going on in your family, your marriage, your children, your grandchildren, God cares and He's there. You know that, don't you? Are y'all with me on that? He showed up. God cared. The lesson is that Eve says to God, or in this passage, the Bible says that Eve said, I've got a man child from the Lord. What does that tell you? They sought God about their problem. And God cared enough to give them a family. And God cares about your family. You know that, don't you? He cares about your children. You think of Hannah, and you think of Jacob, and you think of David when he blew it. What happened after David blew it with Bathsheba? What happened? He sought the Lord. You've read Psalm 51, haven't you? Now what happened? Here is David. His son Absalom was a first-class failure. Amnon was a first-class. The list just goes right down the line. And finally, one night, David said, you know what? I'm in trouble, and I blowed it, and God, I need help. And he cried out to God in Psalm 51. And what was the result of Psalm 51? Solomon. Solomon finally got one right. But he didn't get one right until David was willing to make things right with God and seek God on behalf of his family. Brothers and sisters, can I just say to you before I leave this point, pray boldly. Pray boldly. You got a family issue? Pray big. Pray believing. How many of y'all know the Bible says this? The Bible says, be it unto you according to your faith. That makes us nervous as Baptists, doesn't it? But now we don't believe in that name and claim it. Well, neither do I. But the Bible does say that God Almighty responds to faith. Have you ever read that in your Bible? So go to God. Say, God, I don't know if I have faith or not. Be honest with God. He already knows. How many of y'all know that? He already knows. Am I right? So go to God and say, God, I don't know if I have enough faith for this or not, but my family's a mess and we need help. And oh, God, I'm asking you to do this. And be specific. Pray big and pray believing and pray specifically. There's a God who cares about your family. So start with prayer. How do you handle family issues? Well, this passage here teaches us, number one, we can pray. There's a second lesson in the text. Number two, we can love. What does God do in the text? He loves Adam and Eve. That's why He shows up. Why does He remove them from the Garden of Eden? Because He loves them. Now He's got to protect them from the tree of life. He loves them. What do you do when you have family problems? You love. God loved Adam and Eve and began anew right where they were. Did you notice at the end of what I read to you tonight that God loved Cain even though he gave a wrong offering? Did you catch that? Did you catch that? Because God says in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? How many of you all know that every issue in my life, God knows about it? How many of you all know that? Y'all with me on that? See, I got a temper problem. I got bad news for you, my friend. There's a God in heaven who knows all about your temper problem. Well, you know, I got a sharp tongue. Well, there's a God in heaven who knows. And if God were to come to us tonight, He'd start right where we are. And He'd say, why are you so uptight? Wonder what God would say to you if He came to talk to you. Why are you so angry? Why do you lose your temper so much? Why are you so hard to get along with? Why are you always down, so discouraged, and always pessimistic and frustrated and irritated? Why are you such a worrier? How many of y'all know that God knows exactly what's going on in my life and yours? Did y'all know that? God's not caught off guard by Cain here. He said, Cain, what's wrong? Why are you so upset, buddy? What's wrong with you? Why is God coming to Cain like this? Because He loves him. You know, love is unconditional, isn't it? Are y'all with me tonight? He loves him. Here's what you do with a family problem. You pray about it and you learn to love. Just like the Heavenly Father loved Cain and Abel. That's what you do in a family problem. Some of you are adult and you have adult children and you're disappointed in your adult children. Say, what do you do about that? Number one, you pray. Amen. Number two, you love. You say, yeah, but I'm so disappointed in those kids. Don't you think God was disappointed in Adam and Eve? But He loved them. He loved them. He showed up to invest in them. He talked to them. What is that? That's called unconditional love. Somebody said, now, Brother Young, what would you and Bethley do? You've got this podcast and you've traveled and preached on the family all over the world. What would you do if one of your children disappoints you? Now, be honest. How many of you are aware of the fact that it wouldn't be surprising to have a child go wrong? How many of y'all are aware of that? That happens all the time, doesn't it? Is what would you do? Well, I hope, here's what I'd do. Number one, I hope I'd pray. And number two, I hope I'd love. Just like God loves me and you when we're sinners and don't deserve it. Anybody here praise God that He loves you when you were unlovely? That He loves you even though you don't deserve it? Anybody here besides me praise God for that? Are y'all with me on that? God just loves us. That's how you handle a family problem. You got to pray about it, and you got to love unconditionally. Your son needs to know you love him, even if he keeps you awake at night because your heart is so heavy about the direction of his life. You got to love him. So how do you do that? You say it. You say to your son, you say, son, don't you know something? I'm disappointed, and I wish things were different. But I just want you to say, you're my son, and nothing will ever change that, and I will always love you, and no matter what happens in your life, I don't care if you ruin your life in that regard. I will stop loving. I will never stop loving you. Because you're my son. I'd even say this, you're welcome in my family. I don't like the way you're living. I disagree with the way you're living. But it's Thanksgiving. You can come to my house and have dinner. In fact, if your kid's not saved, you ought to invite him over. Say to your adult son, maybe he's 35 years old, he's never been saved, or maybe he's 55 and never been saved. What you do is you say, I want you to come over and have a meal with me so I can talk to you about my will. Do you know he'll come? And you feed him his favorite meal and make him a good dessert and get him a cup of coffee or whatever. And then you say to him, hey, I want to talk to you about my will. My will is that you get saved. Now, that's a little silly, isn't it? Maybe. But it's love. It's love. You love. What we find here in the text is that there's a God in heaven who kept loving and was still willing to answer their prayer. So we can pray, can't we? Can't you do that about a family problem? We can love. You got that one? Number three, we can obey. Now, what happened when Adam and Eve blew it? Here's what happened. God intervened, and they said, God, you're right. And what they did is they set out to obey. God pointed Adam and Eve back to truth. You ever notice what Adam and Eve said? Adam and Eve are just like your children. Adam and Eve are just like your children. Because here's what Adam and Eve said to God. Adam and Eve said, God, I'm not responsible for what happened here. I'm not responsible for what happened here. In fact, God, I'm not responsible for what I did. Anybody here have children besides me? I don't know what happened there. We're like Aaron and the golden calf. You remember that story? Moses goes to Mount Sinai, and Moses is getting the Ten Commandments, and he's up there 40 days getting a message from God. And while he's up there, the children of Israel said to Aaron, we don't know what happened to God and Moses. We need a God that we can see right now. And Aaron said, well, he said, bring me all your golden earrings and all your golden rings. And he put them in the fire and fashioned a calf. And now they're dancing around this calf and they're worshiping this calf. And Moses comes down from the mountain and it just cracks me up. Because Moses said, Aaron, what in the world is going on here? And Aaron said, Moses, you're not going to believe this. We put this gold in the fire. And out came this golden calf. Who would have thunk it? Oh my goodness, just happened. How many of y'all know that's the biggest lie in the world? How many of y'all, it just happened? Aaron did wrong and wouldn't face up to the fact that he did wrong. Here's the difference in Adam and Eve though. Adam and Eve blew it royally. Say the word royally. What's the word? They blew it royally, didn't they? And yet, you know what they did? They made things right and obeyed God. Because God said, Adam and Eve, I want you to till the land, have dominion, and start a family. You know what they did? They said, okay, God, we will. They went to work. Tilling the land, having dominion, and starting a family. In other words, brothers and sisters, they obeyed. You want to solve your family issues? You got to stop thinking like the contemporary world around us. See, here's how the world around us thinks. What would Jesus do? Now, I'm not trying to be mean about that. Because in its right place, that's a good question. In fact, if you've never read the book, In His Steps, by Charles Sheldon, you ought to read that book. That is a worthy book to read. But our generation has abused that question. What would Jesus do? Bethany and I were in the truck the other day, and our son turned on a Christian radio station. And there was a song on the Christian radio station about what would Jesus do, and it was about this concept in our generation that He would love first. You ever heard that? He would love first. That's what our generation says. What they mean by that is, really doesn't matter as long as you love. That's what they mean. And this songwriter said, and I don't know who it was, and I couldn't tell you the song if I had to. I just remember this one line from it. And here's what he said. He said, how can I love you if I don't love me first? Doesn't that sound really cool? And it's also straight out of hell. Did you know that? The Bible never tells you to love yourself. Did you know that? That's contemporary worldly psychological thinking. What the Bible says is deny yourself. Are y'all with me on that? That's a big difference than love yourself, is it? Deny yourself. In fact, Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Is he saying right there, you got to first love you so you can love your neighbor? That's not what he's saying at all. Because the point of it is that most of us don't love our neighbor because we're not right with God. And the point is not, I just got to love myself more. The point of it is, I've got to deny myself so that I can love others. In other words, you've got to come to the place where you stop thinking in the way the world around us thinks in our generation. And here's a better question than what would Jesus do. You ready for it? A better question than what would Jesus do is this, and this is so good. The better question is, what does the Bible say? A better question than what would Jesus do is, what does the Bible say? How many of y'all know that opinions vary all over the place? How many of y'all know that? How many of y'all are married and your spouse sometimes has a different opinion than you do? Has that ever happened in your marriage? How many of you have children that have a different opinion than you have? That happens, doesn't it? But how many of y'all know that God's Word is true and always has been true and always will be true, and you can stake your life on the unchanging principles and truths of God's Word because that's where it matters. Y'all with me on that? And brothers and sisters, what you got to do is you've got to say, all right, we got family issues. So number one, we can pray about it. And number two, we can love and we can always love. Just like God loved Adam and Eve, I can love my family and my children. And number three, I can obey. I can say, God, what should I do? See, when you identify a problem in your family, here's what happens. We think, well, I don't know what to do about that. Our marriage is a mess. I just don't know what to do about it. And so many times we complain, we clam up, and we do nothing. Or we can go to the Bible and say, all right, God, what's wrong in my marriage and what can I do about it? Is it that simple? It is. Until you and I live by the truths of God's Word, there will never be revival in the family. We've got to say, God, what does your Word say? What do I have to do as a husband, God? According to your Word, what do I have to do as a husband to be a godly man in my family? And the Bible is so simple about it. How many of you men love simplicity? Here's what the Bible says. This is all you got to do. Men, this is all you got to do. There's three things you got to do. The Bible says this is all you got to do in your marriage. Number one is you got to love your wife unconditionally at least as much as Christ loved the church and died for it. That's all you got to do. And you got to be the head of your wife just like Jesus is the head of the church. You've got to make spiritual decisions and lead spiritually in your family. That's all you got to do. And number three says you got to understand your wife. That's all you got to do. How many of y'all praise God it's that simple? That's all you got to do. And somebody says, there's no way you can do that. There's a book. You can buy it at Barnes & Noble. You ever seen it? It's about that thick. And it's entitled, Everything Men Know About Women. It was on sale. And I picked it up. It's 300 pages. And every page is blank. Now I chuckle just like you're chuckling. But you know, the Bible never says a man has to understand women. Are you aware of that? The Bible says a man has to understand his wife. So ladies, I don't care. But this lady right here, I have to obey God and care. How many of y'all know, men, that understanding your wife can be hard because she changes all the time? How many of y'all with me on that? But see, God made it that way. And I've got to understand where she is. Now, the Bible says, Bethany Joy, if you want to succeed in the family, go to my word and find out how. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says things like this. Wives, what you do is you submit to your husband. Well, that's old-fashioned, isn't it? Just means you partner with him. That's all it means. It means you partner with his leadership. And you help him lead. The way you help him lead is you ask questions. Say, honey, what do you want me to do right here? And husbands, when your wife asks you that, that is a little, put off a little bell in your brain that says, ding, 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 she wants me to lead right now. You see, well, we're going to God's Word. What do we do in our culture? In our culture, we don't know what to do, so we do nothing. And we don't obey. You know what made the difference in Adam and Eve's life? That they finally said, okay, now it's time we pick it up. And what we got to do is we got to get busy tilling the land, and we got to get busy doing the work, and we got to have a family. And they obeyed God, and it changed everything in their life. Brothers and sisters, this is how you handle a family issue. You find the truth in God's Word, and you obey it. Am I making sense? Are y'all with me on this? Just some lessons from this story. I got a couple more, and let's call it a night. Fair enough? All right, so here's number one, we can pray. How many of y'all agree with that one? Y'all with me on that one? Number two, we can love. Y'all agree with that? Just like God. Number three, we can obey. What does the Bible say? And number four, we can forgive. How many of y'all praise God that forgiveness is in these stories here in this text? Aren't you glad God forgave Adam and Eve? He forgave them. What do you do when you have a family issue? You got to learn to forgive. Forgive is a difficult thing, isn't it? Think of Esau and Jacob. Do you remember how that Jacob stole the blessing from Esau? How many of y'all know that story, do you? And Esau comes in after Dad had blessed Esau. And Esau says to his dad, Dad, don't you have one blessing for me? And Dad said, Son, I gave Jacob your blessing. And Esau said, Dad, is there not something? And I love this. Watch this. Here's what Jacob said to Esau. Isaac said to Esau. Isaac said, Esau, here's the deal. There's going to come a day you're going to get stronger than your brother. And when you do, you'll break his yoke from off your neck. Now, that's a strange blessing. Because I got thinking about it. Now, when did that happen? God's blessing to Esau through Dad Isaac was, Jacob's the leader. I just gave him all the rights of leadership. But Esau, there's coming a day that you are going to be stronger than your brother and you're going to break his yoke from off your neck. Now, I'll tell you when it happened. I wish this were original to me, but I had breakfast with an older preacher not long ago and he helped me to see this and I'd never seen it before. What happened was that Jacob and Esau didn't see each other for over 20 years. And in those 20 years, Jacob now has four wives, a lot of money, a ton of kiddos, and flocks and herds. And Jacob decides to go back home to be with his brother Esau. And on the way there, he got news. Your brother's got 400 men and he's coming to meet you with an army. You know what Jacob did? He spent a night in prayer. Because things aren't well and he's facing death. And the most amazing thing in that story is that Esau shows up and kisses Jacob. And invites him home. Can I paraphrase it? Esau shows up and forgives Jacob. You know what happened there? Daddy's prophecy, Daddy's blessing was fulfilled in Esau when he forgave his brother Jacob. Some of you have family problems and you've held on to them long enough. You can pray about them. We see that in the story. You can love unconditionally. We see that in the story. You can obey God. We see that in the story. And for some of you, you can forgive. Forgiveness is tricky, isn't it? Forgiveness says, you owe me. You did me wrong and you owe me. You owe me. But you can't pay me. How many of y'all know that when somebody does you wrong, usually there's no way they can make it right? They owe me. There's no way they can pay up because what they did cannot be changed. So all I can do in forgiveness is say, all right, you owe me, but you can't pay me. So I release the debt. See, that's forgiveness. You can't pay me anyway, So I'm no longer holding that debt over your head. You were wrong, and what you did is always going to be wrong, and what you did to me will always be wrong, and you shouldn't have done it, and I know it, and you know it, and everybody knows it, but there is no way you can pay the debt you owe me. So I release you. See, that's forgiveness. There are times that problems come into our family, and all we can do about it is forgive. We say, you know what? I was wrong, or you were wrong, and I release you. That'll bring healing. That brings freedom. And here's the last thing I'll tell you, because I am out of time. Number one, we can pray. How many of y'all with me on that one? Number two, we can love. How many of y'all with me on that one? Number three, we can obey. Y'all with me on that one? Number four, we can forgive. And here's the last one. What do you do when you have family problems? Now catch this, brothers and sisters. Here's what you do. You do right. You just do right. Adam and Eve, what are you doing? You're just doing right. I'm going to go till the land. It's the right thing to do. You just got to go do right. When a family problem comes, you just got to do right. How many people do you know a family problem comes into their life and they give up on God? Family problems come along and so they begin to die spiritually. Instead of just doing what's right. Maybe the best example of that in the Bible in the family is a guy named Joseph. I love that story. You know that story? His brothers sold him into slavery. How many of y'all agree that ain't right? Y'all with me on that? So what does he do? They sold him into slavery. What does he do? He gets down to Egypt and Potiphar buys him. He's now a slave in Egypt. You know what he does? He just does right. In fact, when he was a teenager, God said to him, and I'm done. When he was a teenager, God said to you know, Joseph, when you grow up, what I want you to be is a great leader. In fact, I've called you and I've gifted you to be a leader. And my plan for you is that you become such a great leader that the sun, the moon, the stars all bow down at your feet. My plan for you is that you become such a great leader that your own brothers will someday bow down to you. How many of y'all know that story? So he's a slave in Egypt. What are you going to do about this family problem, Joseph? You know what he does as a slave in Egypt? He leads. This is what God called him to do. So he's a leader in Potiphar's house. To the extent that Potiphar doesn't even know how much money he has, Joseph controls it all. He's just doing right. You know that story about Potiphar's wife? She gets him thrown into jail. You know how long he's in prison? 13 years. He didn't do anything wrong. In fact, he was a godly young man who refused to sacrifice his purity for a moment of pleasure. Did what was right, wound up in jail for 13 years. So what you going to do now that you're in jail, big boy? Just going to do what's right. God called me to be a leader. You know what he does for 13 years? He takes over the jail and runs the whole jail. Is that an incredible story? What's he just doing? What's right? Now, well, he's in there doing what's right. He cares about the people in the jail. Pharaoh's two servants are down there, and they've had a dream, don't know the dream. And he stopped and talked to them and cared about them and told them their dream. And what he said came to pass, and they totally forgot about him. He just kept doing what's right. He just kept doing what's right. And you know the end of the story, don't you? He became the great leader in Egypt to save the people of God. Just because he did what was right. And sometimes in your family, you can't change your son or your daughter. They're adults and they have a free will. They're on their own. You're done. But you know what you can do? You can keep doing what's right. You can stay faithful to church. You can stay faithful to God. You can keep a happy heart. You can keep singing the songs of the Lord. You can keep pursuing purity. You can keep exercising your spiritual gifts. What am I talking about tonight? Family issues. We all have them. And how you handle them will determine whether your family is successful or a failure. I know it's time to go. But how are y'all doing? Got any issues in your family? Got any issues in your life? Well, I got 5 suggestions for you. Pray about it. Love unconditionally. Obey. Forgive. And do right. That's the lessons we learn
in the story of Adam and Eve. Have I made sense? So what do you need to pray about? How's it in your... What do you need to pray about tonight in your family? Then let's have an invitation and we'll go home. Buffy Joy is going to come to the piano. Would you stand for prayer? Let's stand for prayer. My sweetheart's coming to the piano. She's going to play our hymn of invitation tonight. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed in the presence of God. Yeah. Take just a moment here tonight. Let's turn our hearts to the Lord. Yeah. Now, we're just getting started in this family conference, but this is an important truth. What we do about our family issues is vitally important. How many of you would say, Dave, those five truths tonight are applicable to the issues in our home? And I want you to pray with us about them. I want you to pray about my family with me, because I need to pray, I need to obey, I need to love, I need to forgive. Dave, that's exactly what we need, and I want you to pray with us about it. Let me see your hands tonight. Can I see your hands? That's where we are. It's what we need. May God help us tonight. May God help us. I ask again tonight, anybody here who says, Dave, the fact is our family does need a miracle, but I'm beginning to understand there's some things I can do to help us get on the road to seeing our miracle. I'm beginning to see that. There's some things I can do about this miracle that I need. Continue to pray for about this miracle, but I see some things I can do. Let me see your hand tonight. How many of you say that's true in your life? May God help us. Bethany Joy is going to play our hymn tonight. And as she plays, will you go to prayer? You can walk down an aisle. You can kneel at your seat. You can raise your hands in prayer. As Bethany plays, would you take it to God in prayer?